Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you all here. I'd like to send out a hello to everybody on the webcast. I know we have our regulars, but I also received a phone call this morning from my parents in Montana where there was a blizzard warning, so they informed me that they'd be listening in, so I wanted to be sure to say hello to them as well. I oftentimes think of some of the chief characteristics of God. I think about them and I realize, wow, these are some pretty big things. It might just be one small word, a word like truth, or wisdom, or mercy, or power, just to name a few. But all of these words, they're attached to a much, much greater concept, big ideas that can seem sort of nebulous at times. They can be hard to fully grasp. And they seem this way because these are kind of intangible things, and it's hard to make something intangible tangible. But I have found that one of the best ways to do this is through personal experience. When you experience something, you're able to feel it. Suddenly, it becomes more tangible. You can relate to it. It becomes more real to you personally. It's something that becomes more concrete, something that you can believe, and something that you can grasp a hold of and really hold on to. So today, I would like to take a quick look at one of these concepts that's a major part of God's character and look at one biblical example and just see if we can see how he used it. And in doing so, hopefully we can draw some parallels in our life that will make not only that concept, but God more real and more tangible in our lives and cause us to want to have a deeper and more personal relationship with him. The topic that I'd like to briefly touch on this afternoon is that of mercy. We hear it used in scripture, we hear it in songs. We know it's a part of God's character. We know that if it's part of God's character, we should be working to have it be a part of ours. But really, what exactly is it? Well, if you go to the dictionary, that's the first place I generally want to go if I want to figure something out, you'll find that it says compassionate. It's feeling or showing a deep awareness of the suffering of another, especially coming from one in power. It's a disposition to be kind or forgiving. It's a blessing. I also looked it up in the Tyndale New Bible Dictionary, and it had this to say. It says kindness, loving kindness, goodness. Everything from solidarity, kindness, grace, it denotes a devotion to a covenant, and so of God, his covenant love. But God's faithfulness to a graciously established relationship with Israel or an individual, despite human unworthiness and affection. It's a gracious favor of the superior to the inferior that's all undeserved. So now that we've looked at a few definitions of this, let's look into the scriptures. Let's look at one example. I know this is a big subject, so we're just going to look at one example here. I know Mr. Luker can breathe a little bit easier now. So just one example. And let's see if we can see an example of God's mercy and build on what we have as an understanding of it. So let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. Now, just as a backstory to what's going on here, the Israelites would gather after the feast, and they would hear the word of God, and they would confess their sins in a ceremony with certain Levites. In doing so, we kind of have a concise history of the Israelites and their relationship with God that we can look at. So let's look at that in Nehemiah chapter 9, and it really kind of starts in verse 5 with them praising God for all the many blessings that they have given them, but let's break into it at verse number 13. Verse number 13 of Nehemiah 9. It says, "You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger, and you brought them water out of the rock for their thirst. And you told them to go and possess the land which you had sworn to give them." So this is just saying some of the things that God has given them. I mean, let's look at this again. Verse 13, he's saying he came down from Mount Sinai and spoke with them. He wanted to have a relationship with them, and he still wants to have a relationship with us today. You know, he gave them statutes, and he gave them commandments. He gave them a framework for which to live their life, that they could have an abundant lifestyle. And that is still applicable to us today. In verse 14, he said, "You made known to them your holy Sabbath." Holy Sabbath. We're here. We're observing that. And then in verse 15, he said, "He gave them bread. He gave them water. He gave them land. He took care of them." We all have daily needs, and God looks out for us. He takes care of us. You know, what more do they need? They were taken care of. Now let's continue reading on here. Let's see how they responded to all these wonderful blessings. It says in verse 16, "But they and our fathers acted proudly, hardening their necks, and they did not heed their commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you had done among them. They had hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return them to their bondage." Wow. I mean, that's not exactly the reaction that I would want if I were in that situation, but they acted proudly. They hardened their necks. Maybe they started to think that they did these things on their own. They didn't come from God. They stopped obeying his commandments. And then not even that, it says they refused to obey. It's a refusal. I mean, that's taking it a step further. They consciously made the decision not to obey them. They were rebelling against that. And then furthermore, they appointed a new leader. They decided that they wanted a leader that would take them back to slavery. They don't seem very grateful at all for everything that had been given to them. So, I mean, at the very least, we can look at this, and one thing that we can glean from it is that we need to be thankful and we need to be aware of the many blessings that God has given to us and not take those things for granted. But how would you respond to this if you were in God's shoes or his position, that you'd given all these things to your people and this is how they responded? Would you be maybe a little upset, a little angry? Would you want to kind of tell them how you feel, make them feel it a little bit? Let's see how God actually responded to it. Continuing on in verse 17, it says, "But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and you did not forsake them. Even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, 'This is your God that brought you out of Egypt and worked great provocations,' yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness." Wow. That's not how I would have responded. So that's pretty incredible. So, you know, this they even made a molten calf. They went out and they made something and said that this was their God, completely rejecting him. And that's how he reacted. Did they deserve that response? Did they deserve him to be completely merciful like that? Absolutely not. But that's how he responded. And that's what makes it mercy, is that it was undeserving. And that's how God responds to us as well. If you continue on over to verse 26, you can see that, again, they became disobedient. They rebelled against you. They cast the law behind their backs, and they killed your prophets who testified against them to turn them to themselves, and they worked great provocations. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of your enemies. So they got punished for this. They were put in the hands of their enemies, those who oppressed them. But in their time of trouble, they cried out to you. They cried out to God, and you heard them in heaven according to your abundant mercies. So again, they were punished, but God still had mercy on them. He wasn't finished with them. He still took care of them. He gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies, as it says. And then continuing down to verse 31, it says, "Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them. For you are God, gracious and merciful." I mean, it sounds like, I mean, our human nature, we might want to really consume somebody if that was the case, but that's not how God handled it. He was merciful with them. He took care of them. He showed that loving kindness. So does that sound like the kind of being that you want to have a relationship with? Does that sound like the kind of person that you want to be? That you want to have deal with you when you fall short on something? So after I look at this example, I think it really illustrates that mercy, and it's really that it's God's way of showing that he loves us, that he isn't giving up on us, that he sees the good that we are and the good that we can become. And love is often an action, and mercy is basically an action that shows that God loves us. It's an extension of that love. So if we can see that God is merciful to us in our lives, then we have a responsibility. That responsibility we can find in Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 8 here. Micah 6 and verse 8, where it says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good." And what is good? We read all these things in Nehemiah. These are all the things that he gave him. His law, his commandments, his statutes, his way of life, his blessings. Those things are all good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. So, brethren, I hope by looking at this example, we have a stronger understanding of just what mercy is and how God has used it in the past, and hopefully it's something that we can see in our lives as he works with us, and it's something that we won't take for granted, and it's something that we can be thankful for, and it's something that we can grow to love and that we can grow to have become a part of our character as we strive to walk humbly with our God.